Hello and welcome to African Media. I'm Laura Angela Bagneto. We have a special guest on our program today to talk about Ethiopia's state of emergency measures imposed on the entire country. The government says it is putting in place bans on social media, broadcast media, protests, and gestures, among other issues. This after a general uprising that started last November, which has led to demonstrations and extrajudicial killings by police and security forces. We spoke to Berhanu Nega, chairman of the Patriotic Ginbot 7 Group, a new rebel party made through the merger of the Ethiopian Patriotic Front and Ginbot 7. A former elected mayor of Addis Ababa, he was sentenced to death in absentia in 2009 for allegedly starting a coup. Nega spoke to us from somewhere in Eritrea on these new measures and if they will work or not.
This is really a measure that the government took rather than addressing the deep-rooted political problems that the country is facing. This has been going on for quite a while, and the attempt to solve this through such a draconian measure that literally stifles the whole population, that tells you who to talk to, which radio to listen to, what to read, whether you can be on social media or not. I mean, in the 21st century, to think that you can stop a movement by millions of people by putting such a draconian measure is just simply outlandish. It is not going to address the problem of the country. It is, in fact, going to make it worse, because as people start to think that there is no peaceful political way out of this, they are going to start defending themselves as they have already started. So it is going to make the situation even worse. It is leading the country into a civil war. And I think if there are any friends left to this country, especially those that are financing it in the West, this is time to tell them to stop and find a political solution, because this is not going to solve the problem. It's going to make it very, very seriously worse.
As you know, Ethiopians are among the most well-connected people to the diaspora through, as you said, social media, also with broadcasts that are from other countries. How is this going to affect their daily lives?
Oh, it's just like taking people back to the Stone Age. I mean, literally, it is trying to disconnect people from any kind of communication with the rest of the world. How they think they can achieve this is absolutely unfathomable. But the fact is that this state of emergency is creating an environment whereby people just simply are giving up on the possibility of any way out other than confronting this government with the only thing that it knows, which is force. That is what is dangerous about this law.
So it's basically creating a reason, even a bigger reason, because not everybody is Oromo in Ethiopia, but it's creating a bigger reason for people to rise up then.
Absolutely. In the first place, this was not just an Oromo movement. As you know, this is a movement by millions of people, both in the Oromo and the Amhara regions, but also in the south, in the east, in the Afar region, in Gambela. You know, this government has been harassing, killing, arresting people all over the country. And, you know, the chicken are coming home to roost. This movement is now not limited to any particular geographic area. It's going to engulf the whole country. Obviously, what this draconian measure is going to do is make it clear to everybody that they are going to be free together, or they are going to be under slavery forever. So, I, you know, my view is this conflict is going to spread rather quickly to all parts of the country, and I'm really afraid that this situation is going to be completely out of hand very quickly.
And do you think the media blackout, I mean, if people don't know what's going on, that the government believes that that will make them calmer because they don't realize what other people are doing, how are they going to communicate?
Listen, you know what is interesting is now they have started to take off the dishes from houses all over the country. And you just sit down, close your eyes and imagine how many millions of dishes there are in that country and how this government hopes to achieve this. But even if they succeed in that, people who are struggling against tyranny, as you know, will find ways to communicate with people. I don't think this is going to be successful. There are all kinds of shortwave communication mechanisms. There are, as you know, satellite television and radios broadcasting to the country. So I don't think the government can achieve the objective of completely muzzling the transmission of information to all parts of the country. This is a futile attempt. In fact, what it would do is it makes people more angry. It makes people lose any hope of a possibility of political settlement to this problem. So as I said, it is going to drive people to fight. That is what we are going to see. And it has already started in some parts of the country.
The Washington Post, an American newspaper, wrote an editorial saying that the state of emergency won't work. However, the Ethiopian ambassador to the United States wrote back and saying, actually, it will. I mean, from what you're saying, it's not going to work. I mean, it's 6 months long.
You know, that's what I was trying to tell you. This attempt to muzzle people and to force them into complete submission has already failed. As you know, last week, even after the state of emergency, there was a three-day strike in the Amhara region. Thousands and thousands of people are now moving into the bushes with whatever arms that they have. They are going to fight this government. And as I said, this is going to happen not only in one region, but in all parts of the country. I don't know how a government is going to win fighting against all its people. I mean, you know, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, this is a fight against the whole population. This is not, you know, you can, you know, add, subtract and say maybe there are a million or 2 million people with this government, but it is fighting against 100 million people. It's not going to work because, in fact, it's going to get nasty. The thing that we see when a small minority group tries to hold on to power and literally exploit all resources to these very, very, very small bandits that took government power in that country, the end result is people are going to rise and they are going to fight. So, yes, they have some temporary advantage in terms of the kind of weapons that they have. But, you know, this is not fighting a small group. This is not fighting a particular guerrilla group. This is fighting the whole population. That's why it's not going to work. In fact, it has already showed that it is not going to work.
Well, let's look at the international community because they're making more statements. But if you look at what Ethiopians have been in the diaspora have been saying on social media, things are not moving fast enough. I mean, there were at least 50 people killed earlier this month. More people have been killed in these protests, and now they're not going to be reported on.
The international community, particularly the West, is really, really embarrassing in the way it is responding to this situation. We have been telling them, I mean, I have been to the EU, talking to the parliamentarians, repeatedly telling them that this is coming. And of course, you know, right now, the West's foreign policy is so myopic and so geared towards this so-called war on terror, they have completely ignored some of the most basic issues that they claim to uphold, such as human rights and basic freedoms and democracy and things of that sort. And they are aligned with all kinds of brutal dictatorships, which seem to show some kind of stability. As you know, they have been singing the praises of this country, this regime, the Ethiopian regime, for, you know, creating development and stability and things of that sort. And look what happens. It is completely falling apart. So I think the international community, it is about time to start to sit down and look at what actually is going on the ground. And since this is a government of their making and their friend in one form or another, it is time to show some commitment to a political solution to this problem rather than simply supporting this regime, this really, really brutal regime, even by African standards, from taking the country into a complete abyss. I think this is not going to help even the so-called war on terror, because you are creating a country of 100 million people and destabilizing a country of 100 million people at this level is going to create even more chaos in the region and make the larger problem of terrorism and things of that sort even worse, in addition to, of course, the refugee crisis that it is bound to bring. That's why, really, most of us who have been advocating for a political solution to this problem have been telling Western capitals that this is not the way to go. By supporting brutality in the name of a war against terror is not going to the deep-rooted problems that these societies are facing. The better way to go is to at least require minimum standards of decency and governance from these countries, because otherwise there is only so much that people can take. It doesn't matter whether the West supports this government or not. At the end of the day, if people decide to revolt as they are doing in Ethiopia, I don't think the West can do anything other than looking at another serious humanitarian crisis in that part of the world.
That's all the time we have today. Thanks for listening. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Stay tuned.